You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another friendly episode of Ask Drone You. My name is Paul, and joining me as always for this week's new show is the Flying Dutchman, coming all the way from Drone DJ. Hiya, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, Paul. Very good. How are you doing today?
Doing very well. Excited to talk about all the news coming up, but even more excited to have a little getaway after this, just so I think some users or viewers should know, we may not have a news show for a week just because my mind will be engaged with the Nepali coast. So sorry, guys.
No new shoe? Come on. We can do a new show while you're on vacation, no?
Only if I can do it from the middle of the ocean and on top of a paddleboard. So I have to, you know, hold up the phone and do the new show from the water. If I can do that, I'm in.
I think we can make that happen. Didn't they just add SkyTalk to the smart controller? So we should be able to live stream using a drone with you on the paddleboard. I can see that happening.
That could be a lot of fun. But Haya, I will say I'm excited too about the industry just kind of waking up in regards to remote ID. And as you know, there have been some very prominent people who have been releasing some information. And Haya, it does look like too that the proof is in the pudding with these releases that are coming from different companies and different associations, as they say very different things. Would you say now that drone pilots can truly understand the true intentions of some of these associations or manufacturers or companies?
I think so. I mean, you see a lot of the alliances and other organizations speaking up. We know from the fact that a lot of drone pilots, of course, are very unhappy with what the FAA is suggesting that the new rules are going to be for remote ID. What we really needed was some big industry players to speak out as well. And I had a chance to speak with Brendan Schulman from DJI at CES this year. We spoke about remote ID. He did not mention anything that he was working on in terms of publishing his own notes or opinion, basically voicing his concerns, but more importantly, also the concerns that DJI as a company has. But he did so the other day in a piece that they published it on their blog website. And basically, Brendan calls the whole NPRM for remote ID from the FAA deeply flawed. And we've quoted him on that a number of times in this article. For him to speak up like that, I think, is very important. We need as many people to speak up as possible. I know you guys have made an advocacy kit as well. I think that's doing really well. I know we've been contacted by some smaller drone pilots also who are expressing their concerns. And I think the FAA must be getting it from all different sides right now that people are speaking up and expressing the problems that they have with how their business or their hobby will be negatively affected by the NPRM from the FAA.
Yeah, I was actually really excited to see how much alignment there was between the comment guide that we released. And, you know, if you're a drone pilot out there and you're familiar with the proposed NPRM, then you know just how much it can hurt the industry. So, Haya, when I did see so much alignment between our comment guide and what DJI had put out along with the FPV Freedom Coalition, I was quite happy, quite pleased, quite inspired. And for those of you out there, if you are a pilot, you can download the comment guide. Just go to droneadvocacykit.com. Again, droneadvocacykit.com. There you can download the 6-page guide and learn how to write your comments, learn why copy and paste is not an effective strategy, but also learn why telling your personal story and telling your story in terms of the macro effect to yourself, your business, your family, your neighborhood, the industry as a whole. You know, these guides, Haya, I think are going to be really powerful if we really, you know, collectively bargain against the FAA. And I'm really excited to see how many people have already downloaded that guide and commented. And I'm even more excited to see just again, and I have to say this again, so excited to see the alignment between Brendan Schulman, his article, and the guide that we released at droneadvocacykit.com.
Oh, totally. And it's interesting as well that a lot of people that we spoke to also during CES, they're not so much against remote ID for drones. On the contrary, most people actually understand that that's a necessary evil to keep the skies safe, but also to progress the drone industry as a whole. A lot of them, though, seem to think that really what one of the biggest problems with remote ID basically is the network connection. So having to connect to the internet, basically what makes the whole thing unworkable and also unnecessarily expensive. If, on the other hand, a solution was more centered about broadcasting, I think we would have a much better chance of this actually being successfully implemented and also having people comply with these rules. I mean, right now it seems that a lot of people are not planning on complying at all because they're simply very, very displeased with these set of rules that are being proposed.
For sure. I just don't think that lack of compliance and counting on a lack of enforcement is an effective strategy. I mean, look what the AMA tried doing a couple years ago. That was a failed response. What the AMA tried to put out to light up their following, in my opinion, was a failed response. Instructing people to cut, copy, and paste, I mean, literally, are they playing to the rule book of the FAA? So I would say this, Haya. I agree with you that some form of remote ID is probably necessary to open up the skies for things like drone delivery. But why punish everyone else in the process? And why have, again, I agree with you, there should not be any network-based remote ID. It should be broadcast-based only. Yeah. Can you imagine what the American public would do if we started to say, okay, now all of your cars are going to be network-connected. We're going to be tracking them all the time. We're going to know what you do, where you do it, how often you do it. Yeah. People would freak out. And yet the fact that so many drone pilots are like, the remote proposed ID rules are going to make our skies safer. Don't give me that pedantic crap. I think it's so lazy when people say that they haven't actually read the rules. And it's like, you know, guys and girls, if you love to fly, it is time to stand up for our rights. And it is time to create a license plate system that mirrors the existing one, you know, with 80% of drones already having the broadcast-based version of remote ID. Why can't we make that the standard? And then drones that don't have that, like hobby drones, why can't they announce through the Lance system that was already developed? I think there are very simple solutions, and yet the FAA is trying to pull the wool over pilots' eyes, Congress's eyes, and our representatives as a whole. And I'm going to be excited to see who is willing to peek through the curtain and realize that, you know, what you're being told is not a viable solution and not really true either. So
I think that's the important, just to chip in here, I think that's the important thing today is that it's not just, let's say, people like you or me or other professionals speaking up against these rules. It's actually drone operators, drone pilots are speaking up, comments are coming in, they're reaching out to you guys, downloading that kit, they've been reaching out to Drone DJ to get their stories published. But on the other hand, we now also get some bigger industry players like DJI, I mean, it doesn't really get any bigger than that, speaking out publicly and calling this whole set of rules a deeply flawed proposal. I think that carries a lot of weight, and I hope that the FAA is listening to all these different parties and people speaking out against these rules, and hopefully they will adjust them soon.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I will say, you know, we just did that. We just did our second webinar, and our first webinar was viewed 40,000 times. And in this last webinar, I can't tell you how many comments that I was trying to ignore for people saying, like, they can try doing this, but no one's going to comply. And I hear everyone, and I remember the age-old argument. Do you remember when they tried to implement all the rules against CB radios, and then no one complied? And it's like, sure, yes, but do we really want to have rules like that on the books? So anyway, but it looks like there is, unless you have one more thing to say.
Yeah, I was going to add one more thing just to kind of underline what you just said. Here's a quote from Brendan Schumann himself saying that, and this is in that public post from DJI, the FAA proposal has prompted an intensely negative response from the drone community, including serious commercial operators who otherwise support the need for a remote ID. That does not bode well for compliance rates. Rather than fostering a culture of compliance, this proposal risks creating a culture of circumvention that could doom the entire remote ID endeavor. I mean, that's pretty much saying it all right there, I think.
Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more.
Yes, sir.
So, well, there is some good news, though, this week in our next piece of news. That is, DJI has done something that personally, Haya, I'm really excited about, and I wish this feature was on all new drones, from the Skydio to the Autel Evo 2 to all these drones. It's just like, I feel like manufacturers just don't get it. But I'm so excited to see DJI add attitude mode to the Mavic 2 Enterprise in their most recent firmware release. And if you followed me in the past, you know that I am a staunch advocate for attitude mode, or a sensor negative flight mode, meaning we're not using GPS, we're not using obstacle avoidance, it's all down to the pilot. Why? Well, yes, it does allow the pilot to have ultimate control and really get the smoothest shots in the most complex environments and do so smoothly. It also allows drone pilots to fly better in windy conditions. In addition, it's the only way to stop a flyaway. So you wonder, when attitude mode is so useful for smooth cinematic shots, but also so powerful for inhibiting flyaways, doesn't that make attitude mode and, well, safety feature that all drones should have? And hi, I will say, I know you're about to, you know, go into it, but there was one thing that I saw out on the internet on this, and I just have to clear the air right now. I saw someone say, Mavic 2 Enterprise is the only Mavic 2 that has attitude mode. That could not be more wrong. You can hack your Mavic 2 Pro very easily. And when I mean hack, I mean literally three keystrokes on a Mac computer to get attitude mode on your drone. And if you want that, don't forget to search Mavic 2 hack Addy in YouTube or click the link in the description below. But Haya, with this firmware release and attitude mode, are you excited? And what else comes with it?
I am very excited. I think it's a good sign that they've included this on the Mavic 2 Enterprise. The big question, of course, is when is this going to be available on all the other Mavics? I mean, if it can be made available on the Enterprise version, it should be available on the Zoom and the Pro ones for, let's say, consumers, prosumers as well. So I have a pretty good hope that that will be made available shortly. Of course, on the Phantom, you have a dedicated switch to flick back and forth between these different modes. On the Mavic, you probably have to go into a menu. So it's a little less fast to activate, a little less user-friendly perhaps, but still, like you explained already, it's a very important feature to have, and really it should be a default feature, I think, that's available on any drone that comes with GPS. So yeah, it's a good thing that they've released that, and yeah, like I said, the big question is when is this going to be available for the Mavic 2 Pro and Zoom versions of the Mavic series.
It is available.
Just hack it.
Just hack it.
Link in the description below.
Yes. Anyway, I'm excited about that. Also excited about our next piece of drone news, as the drone industry, even with these huge regulatory burdens, tells the FAA, hey, we're going to keep moving forward on our research and development to further the productivity in this economy. Haya, what's going on?
Yeah, I was wondering, which one are you hinting at with this one? Are you talking about drone deliveries in Seattle, where they want to supply marijuana and cannabis by drones?
No, actually, I was talking about Wing, but that is hilarious. I didn't realize that it could have gone into either story.
Let's do this one first. We have an article about a plan to use drones for cannabis and marijuana deliveries over Seattle. And the thing that really struck out when I was reading this, this was written by Josh. He's one of our co-writers at Drone DJ, is that these drones are able to hold up to 40 kilograms of marijuana, which I think roughly calculated is somewhere about 90 pounds. So these are pretty big drones, but also imagine if that stuff comes falling down and you would find that. But anyway, it's a little crazy, I think. But yeah, they are pushing the industry forward, and we're seeing more and more tests and plans being made to use drones for all kinds of deliveries. And this is one of them for sure.
Well, I think it's really exciting for everyone who's in Seattle, Washington. I think actually what's more exciting, though, is that now you have two separate, I don't know if you would call them technologies, kind of poking the bear at federal law in regards to, you know, federal schedule for marijuana, but also with drone delivery. I mean, you have two technologies that are really on the leading edge or the gray area of the law. And while, you know, I understand that's what's necessary in order for, you know, the society to grow, I know it does upset some individuals, some officials, but it's exciting to see. But it is interesting though, Haya, how again drone delivery is really focused off of health right now. You know, what we're seeing in southwestern Virginia, in Christiansburg, and also with this. So it's very interesting. But actually, in that last intro, I was trying to hint at what Google Wing was doing, not what was going on up in the cloudy northwest. But anyway, what's going on with Google Wing?
Google Wing, or Wing Aviation as they like to be called right now, they are looking to expand their test flights to the UK, to Britain. And basically, it's the same reason why Amazon's been active there, I think, since 2015, if I'm not mistaken. The rules for these kind of tests are a little more lenient in England than they are here in the United States. And that's why we've seen people use drones for testing purposes as well. And Australia has a similar environment, easier to fly, and then England is the other one. Like I said, Amazon's been active there. Now Wing Aviation is also looking to expand their drone testing programs to the UK. Just going back to what you mentioned earlier, I mean, Wing Aviation has really been focusing on making food deliveries. I agree with you that when it's more focused on health-related issues, especially urgent healthcare, so let's say the delivery of blood samples or urgent medication or even life-saving equipment, it's specifically in those areas where delivery by drone seems to make a lot of sense. I mean, yeah, you can ship burritos and ice cream with a drone as well, but I think it's going to be harder to win people over with those less urgent, less important deliveries. I think if you focus on making the deliveries where time is of the essence, where you can save people's life, I think that's where you can really showcase the strength and the added value that drones bring to a society. And I think we are seeing that in search and rescue. That's one of those areas. I think the other one is deliveries by drone, but then specifically for blood samples, medication, and healthcare equipment that needs to get to a location quickly. I think that's really where drones shine. And then once you've established it there and show that drones actually work as a delivery method, I think that's when later on the burrito, the ice cream, and all the other stuff can start to take place as well.
The burritos. When I can get a green chili burrito delivered to the office, that's what I'm excited about. I'm just saying.
Next time I'm in Albuquerque, we'll set up our own burrito drone delivery service, and we'll send you one.
Well, I've been having a lot of ideas about drone businesses recently, and could you imagine having something like a Skydio delivering a cup of coffee? You could have hundreds of Skydios in a 2-mile radius just delivering coffee to the point where it reads the front door and just drops it right there and alerts you, hey, coffee's going to be here in 30 seconds. You better be out front, you know? So, I mean, how far away are we from that world? How far away are we from a world where a robot makes the coffee and does it better than any barista that you've ever seen because the roasting temperature is perfect? And the way that the pour over the coffee grounds is, you know, perfectly laid out. So, it's interesting. And frankly, it's exciting. Hi, I'm truly excited.
I'm very excited as well. And I think it's not so much the technology that's holding us back. I mean, pretty much all the components that you would need are already available. I think what's more holding us back is, one, the acceptance of people of having drones fly in the air and delivering things like burritos and coffee and whatnot. And I think, secondly, it's the legal framework. And that kind of brings you back right away to a remote ID. Is you need to have a system in place that allows for safe use of commercial drones, basically. So that kind of ties us right back into the legal framework.
Yes, it sure does. But Haya, yeah. I mean, it's a good point. And again, I just want to remind everyone out there, if you have not taken the time to comment, read the rules, if you would like to know the biggest problems to fight against, to focus our efforts and maximize our comments' effectiveness, I beg you to download the droneadvocacykit.com. It is a 6-page guide. It goes over how to comment, how to maximize your comment, where to comment, talks about the biggest problems, potential solutions, and it was brought to you by Haya. You were a part of the group on the back end that, you know, was a part of making this in collaboration with the FPV Freedom Coalition. And I know that you've heard other people say, and I get, you know, let me just ask you, what have you heard from other people about this guide and how it may help or hurt them comment?
I think it's a very good guide. I mean, a lot of people initially seem to be more panicky about the whole NPRM and like wanting to express their concerns really quickly. A lot of industry people, including you as well, have urged people to take the time, do your homework, do the research, read the sections of the NPRM that are important to your business, and then write a very precise essay, if you will, or post, explaining exactly how these rules are going to affect your hobby or your commercial drone business in a negative way. And I think if you make those stories personal and you be very specific in how it's hurting you or hindering you in your hobby or your business, I think that's a really good way to go. Also, I think you should focus not so much on pointing out what's wrong with the proposal, but maybe explain how it could work or how it could work better for you and how it wouldn't hinder your hobby or your business. And I think if people take the time to do their homework and do their research, and then when they do put their comments in, it's a very well-written story or piece of feedback, basically, with some good points, then the FAA has no choice but to include that and to read that. And what we've seen people do in other cases is where they would take a certain template and kind of copy paste that and submit that as being their feedback. Don't do that, because if the FAA sees that they get, let's say, 500 times the exact same story, they'll just group it into one comment and just use it as such. And that's exactly what we don't want. We want everybody to write their own personal stories, how the NPRM for remote ID negatively impacts your business or your hobby, and write that down. And don't just focus on the negatives. I mean, also come up with solutions or suggestions as to how these rules might work for you. And if you submit it in that way, the FAA has no option but to read it and to take it into consideration. And we are very hopeful that if the FAA realizes what an outpour of comments and feedback they get from the entire drone industry, they have no other choice than to amend these rules. At least that's what we're hoping that will happen.
I really don't see how the industry accepts any of these rules that were written by, 29 industry, not advocates, just trying to gain business share for their businesses. Even, with Apple working with that new lobbyist, I was actually surprised, because I thought Apple would be more focused on freedom of the skies. And I was surprised to read Lisa Ellman's first piece. And so I'm hoping that changes. But I all the cell phone carriers and whatnot definitely were a part of this. And you know what? It really, it's all about money. But, it's kind of like it makes you wonder if certain regulators / policy people / lobbyists are starting to feel stupid, because, I mean, it's a direct breach of FISA law. Someone else has brought up that it's a direct breach of COOPA laws, or that it may be a breach of COOPA, or it may be a breach of FISA. I've actually had numerous outside sources now come say it. Hey, we would like to confirm that it may breach federal law as well. So, frankly, I don't even see how this gets implemented as is and it be legal. So, I think, that makes me excited. There's hope in that form. And maybe that was the FAA's goal in the first place. Maybe they knew it would not work and they were tired of being pushed around by DHS. Who knows? We really don't know. No one really knows. All that we know is large companies who have a lot of money spend millions of dollars lobbying, and the only people who get the ear of the FAA are the people who spend a lot of money. And at what point are we going to learn that simply doesn't work when their interests aren't pure and they can't be truly objective? So anyway, I'm excited for the future, Haya, but we're going to keep fighting over here at DroneU.
Oh, for sure. And same here. Like I said, I mean, anybody who has their concerns and wants to share them also on a platform like Drone DJ, please feel free to reach out to us. I'm currently working on 3 stories of people who are explaining exactly how they are being impacted. I'm sure they'll submit their comments to the FAA as well. But I want to just use Drone DJ as a platform to voice all these concerns, so that no matter who's searching for the NPRM from the FAA on remote ID, they'll come up on these stories and realize what a mistake this is. And I hope, I know you guys are doing everything you can. We want to do everything we can on our end as well to make sure that this gets changed. And I think so far, if there's one positive thing that came out of this whole mess, it's to see that all these drone hobbyist pilots, as well as commercial pilots and other drone businesses, are now stepping up to the plate and expressing their concerns and their feedback and stuff. And I think that's really good, because otherwise, I don't think we've ever been as united as we are right now in our purpose.
I couldn't agree more, but I also think it's so important for people to also unite on the problems and the solutions they offer. So, because there are some different solutions going on out there. But anyway, Haya, thank you so much for joining us in the fight to protect our rights to fly.
More than welcome, buddy. I mean, whatever we can do to get this message out, we're here. We're sharing your kit as well. So the more people we can inform, and the more people we can get to commit to submit their feedback and their concerns to the FAA, the better it is. So, Paul, thank you for having me on the show this week again.
Hey, thank you, Haya. And thank you, everyone, for giving us a review, liking, and subscribing to the show. And also, Haya, I just want to say thank you again for confirming that you'll be at one of the best drone conferences, and no, I'm not objective on this, one of the best drone conferences in the world at the Drone You Fly In. 20 flight missions, are you ready to take them on? I want to see you compete.
I'm ready. I just got a Phantom 4 ship from DJI, so I got a drone to practice with now as well. I'll be ready for sure. This is what? Explain to me again where this is, when this is, and what makes this fly-in so special.
So the fly-in is a drone conference unlike any other. Why? Because we're actually outside and we're flying. 20 flight missions from 10 that are technical and 10 that are creative. It's a competition to test your skills, and it's all taking place on a Netflix studio site, a ghost town outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. If you want to join us, droneyouflyin.com. We're actually about halfway sold out already, and the conference isn't until April. So the fact that we're already having these numbers, I think, says a lot, Haya.
It's really good. What is it, like April 4th and 5th? I think it's at weekend, right?
It sure is, yep. And we're offering also a flight mastery now before that. So if you want to, you know, build up those skills before you get truly tested, you can do that as well. So it was a big request by a lot of people.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'll be sure to be there as well. And maybe I'll actually come early and hang out with you guys and practice a little bit before we get into the weekend. But I'm excited to be there. Thanks for inviting me for that. And yeah, we will cover that, of course, on Drone DJ as well.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, Haya. And thank you, everyone else. That's going to do it for us today. My name is Paul. He's the Flying Dutchman. And this is another news episode of Ask Drone You.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sound have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts, and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone You.